We seek to close off this series in gospel sharing. We're looking at a passage that really shows us something of how to go about that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you've got it open there, we're going to read from verse 19 through to the end of that chapter and see if you can pick up how Paul goes about sharing the gospel with those that he is wanting to see saved. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things, to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask now that your word will do its work in our hearts and lives. I pray for the words that I say, Lord, that you will use them effectively in the hearts and lives of those who are listening. Pray that you will be growing us together for the work that you've called us to do. May we see what we're here for and how we can go about it. In Jesus' name, amen. So who do you look up to? Who do you imitate? Who do you follow? Who's the hero that you would like to model your life and behaviour on? There's actually a really classic YouTube video clip of a group of soldiers who do something incredibly ridiculous, and they end up with someone who imitates them. Now, my brother was a soldier. I know how ridiculous they can be. Have a look at this YouTube video clip. It gives us an idea of how not to imitate someone. Okay, for the record, that is completely fabricated. It never actually happened in reality, but it's so believable, isn't it? As I said, my brother was a soldier who would do something that crazy as to give a rifle to a monkey. As they say, monkey see, monkey do. And it's a funny video of someone who actually does imitate the example of others, and it's a stepping stone, you know, it's a humorous stepping stone into what I want us to be really thinking seriously about today, and it's the idea of imitating. It is the idea of copying. It is the idea of patterning our lives on the Lord Jesus. We're finishing our series today on sharing the gospel, but sharing the gospel with others is a lifelong occupation. It's something that we are going to do for the rest of our life. So though we finish today, this is just a taster, if you like, of what we are to be doing for the rest of our life here on earth. Imitate the Lord Jesus. Follow him. Use his behavior. Use the way he lived as a model for us to live and behave. In 1 Corinthians 11, you see it on the screen there, there's this confronting sentence that Paul gives us that we really want to wrestle with. The sentence is, follow my example as I follow Christ. Or be imitators of me as I am of Christ, as some other translations put it. Or take me as your pattern as I take Christ for mine, says Paul. Imitation. This is Paul's word to mums and dads, to grandparents and children. This is Paul's word to men and women, ordinary men and women sitting in the church in Corinth. Ordinary believers, everyday people like you and me. Paul says, follow my example as I follow Christ. Now, if you're going to really copy someone, there's got to be a good reason to do that. That's why I ask the question, who's your hero? Children copy their parents. That's not me, by the way, but it could be. Little boys love to imitate their dad. Little girls want to copy mum. That's what they do. It's natural. Many of you know, we've got three boys and a little girl. Laura's seven now, and she has always been such a girl, so wanting to imitate her mum. She's so cute. She sees mum. She sees Christine, her mum. After Christine washes her hair, she goes around the house with a towel wrapped around her head. The last thing Christine would want to be seen with is with the towel on her head. And yet Laura has just managed at 7 years old to be able to do this towel wrapping trick by herself. And she is so proud of it. She gets around the house with this little towel on her head. Her brothers just think she's ridiculous. They start laughing at her. They say she looks stupid. But she's as proud as can be. She goes and models the hair towel thing on in front of the mirror. She looks like mum. And you can just see her beaming with pride at her ability to imitate Christine, her mother that she loves. That's what we do. We pattern our lives on those we love. Pattern your life on someone that you love. You appreciate them. You want to be like them. And that's what Paul is saying with us. He's giving us that kind of imitation. There's a two-step imitation. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. The Corinthians love Paul. He's brought them the message of Jesus. They owe him so much. They love him. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. See, we imitate Jesus because we love him. Or we should. We've got so much to love him for, don't we? Jesus has done the unique. Jesus has done the astonishing. Jesus has done what is too wonderful for us to actually use words to express. And I want us to think of three things in particular that Jesus has done that we are to try and imitate. Firstly, Jesus has set us free from the vice grip of rebellion and sin that we were caught in. Jesus came to save. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to save us. What from? From the judgment of God, which is death, and following death is eternal fires of hell. Horrible to think about, isn't it? But wonderful to realize that that's what Jesus came to save us from. He came to redeem us from this unending slavery to doing wrong and evil. We just prayed about the evil that is happening in our world, praying that Jesus will break that evil. He will. He has. Jesus came to right every wrong. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to take the punishment for our rebellion as a race. He came to die on that brutal cross. He did it for Paul the Apostle. He did it for the Corinthian church. He did it for the whole world. He died for me, and he died for you. He came and he gave us this amazing second chance. Secondly, Jesus came willingly. We're imitating Jesus. He came to seek and save. He came willingly. He was sent by the Father, but he actually volunteered for the job. It was his free choice. He freely chose to give his life as a ransom for many. He came and he chose to be born in obscurity. He chose to grow up in a relatively poor home. In humility, he chose to die in awful shame. He chose this willingly, out of love for God, out of love for us. He wasn't paid to do it. He wasn't forced to do it. He left the glory of heaven and he became the servant of all, freely and voluntarily and willingly. It was his choice. For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross, the joy of pleasing his Father, the joy of saving us. He did it willingly. Number three, Jesus came to identify with us. And this is what we really want to think through as we think about imitating Jesus. He came as a poor and he came as an ordinary person. He came to the sinners and the prostitutes, to the undesirable people. He hung out with them. He didn't come as a rich and powerful person. I think the reason he didn't is because poor people don't identify with the rich. And the rich ignore the poor. Jesus identified with us. He helps the blind and the lame. He heals them. He feeds the hungry. He cures the sick. He comforts the grieving. He eats and drinks with sinners and oddballs. He identifies with them. He actually goes to the trouble of becoming one of us. They got to know him. He got to know them. He knew them already. They could relate to him. He related to them. And when Paul says, follow my example as I follow Christ, I think he means specifically, this is me simply breaking it down into something that's understandable, imitate Jesus in those three areas of your life. Aim to save people. Aim to do so willingly and freely out of love for God and others, and work as hard as you possibly can at actually intentionally identifying and understanding the ones that you want to win for Jesus. Those three things. It's a huge ask, and that's why I'm actually very thankful that Paul does what he does here. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. Because it's tempting, isn't it, as we look at the Lord Jesus, we can go, well, he's in a league of his own. For crying out loud, he's the Son of God, and we're meant to be like him? I don't think we're going to get there. It's too big a jump for our thinking. And he's got an unfair advantage. He knows everything. And so we can actually put Jesus in a league of his own that is beyond us to imitate. Paul is telling ordinary Christian, ordinary church folk, ordinary people like you and me, people who believe. And he's saying, telling us to follow his example because he's following Christ. It helps us a little bit to see another sinner, another ordinary bloke like Paul who calls himself the chief of sinners, to see his pattern of doing this. And so we take heart. If Paul can do this, maybe it's not so hard for us to do this. Maybe we can do this. He's a willing, loving volunteer. He's someone who takes the saving message of Jesus to people who need it. And he's the one who works incredibly hard to actually identify with those he wants to save. So look at the 1 Corinthians 9 passage with me. Let's think about the pattern that Paul has laid down for us. This is the pattern. Paul worked to seek and save. Paul worked willingly. Paul identified with his audience. Verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. His end goal is the same as the end goal of Jesus, who came to seek and save the lost. Paul's end goal, to win as many as possible. He can't do that of his own, but he can do it with the message of Jesus. So we aim to win people, not in our own strength, but with the message of Jesus. He wants to win as many as possible, verse 9. He's exploring all possible means that he may save some, verse 22. His ambition is to win people, same goal as Jesus. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Paul, imitating Jesus, is aiming to win as many as possible. And we follow Paul. Secondly, Paul also is a willing volunteer. Same as Jesus. Yes, he's been sent by God. Yes, he's been told that he has to preach. But he's far more than someone who's under duress and forced to do it. He's a willing participant. He's put his hand up for this. He states this here. I am free. I belong to no man. It's from his position of freedom that he's stepping out to seek and save others. He's a free man. He's free because Jesus has set him free. He's free from the rat race of religion. He's free from the treadmill of trying to gain God's approval by good works. He's free from the failure of thinking that he can climb up to God by his own effort. He's free from the obligations and expectations of other people. See, he's not being paid by the church to do this. He's actually forfeited his legitimate right to be paid by the church. He's actually forfeited that right. He's not singing for his supper. He's a free man, but like Jesus, he is freely giving up the comfort and the couch and the country to share the saving message of the cross with people who are far different from himself. Different language, different customs, different land, different beliefs. And he does so willingly. He's free and he serves to save. Finally, Paul, like Jesus, patterns his method of reaching people on the Lord Jesus. Jesus identifies with those he came to seek and save. He hung out with people on the street. He just lived the life with the prostitutes and the sinners. So does Paul. And look how Paul is serious about this. If we put up the passage from verse 20, we see here, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I'm not myself under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those who have no law, I become like one not having the law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak. I became all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Marvellous, isn't it, to see the flexibility that Paul has in getting to know the people he wants to win for Christ. He's not rigid, he's not stuck in one method, he's more than willing to accommodate to the needs of those he's wanting to win for Christ. What lengths he goes to identify with them, just as Jesus comes from heaven to earth to identify with us, so Paul is ready to cross land and sea to identify with people that he wants to win for Christ. He mentions the Jews and the non-Jews, the God types and the godless. He wants to win both. He has a heart for both. So he aims to identify with them. He aims to be all things to all men so that by all possible means he might save some. He works to know them. He works to allow them to know him. He didn't just share the message, he shared his life. He identified with them. He lived with them. Many different people, same goal, to win to Christ. So the God types, we see him with the God types, with the Jews, and he's happy to identify with the Jews by dressing and looking and doing what they did. They're grumpy religious people, so he becomes a grumpy, no. But that's the kind of what he does. He's happy to do the head-shaving thing. He's happy to do the purification thing. He doesn't want to offend them. And he'll do what they do, not to win their approval, but to win them to Christ. He's not being a chameleon here, just fitting in for the sake of blending through life. He's fitting in order to fill them in with the message of Jesus. So he'll put up with the religious restrictions. The gospel gives him freedom to wear the funny clothing of the Jews. And hopefully he will free them from their religious obligations as they come to know Jesus. He's no longer a Jew. He was born a Jew. He's no longer a Jew. He's a Christian. He tells us this. But he's happy to be a Jew in order to win the Jews for Jesus. And then we go to him in Athens. He goes to the Greek city of Athens and he's no longer in Jewish costume. He's thinking and he's engaging with the Athenians and trying to bring the gospel message in a language and format that they understand in their language and through their customs. So he has soaked up Corinthian culture. He's been in Athens. He looks around the city. He knows that they love wisdom. He knows they love rhetoric. He knows these things. So he uses them to package the gospel effectively in their lingo, in their way. Their pride in education is as useless as the Jewish pride in religious customs, but to win them, Paul will dress as an Athenian, engage as an Athenian, to identify with them in order to win them for Christ. To the weak he becomes weak, to all he will be all things to all men, so that by all possible means some may be saved. You see how what is flexible? Packaging, you see what is fixed? That they may be saved, that they may be one for Christ. All of this flexibility is for one singular purpose, that people may be one to Christ. And what does Paul say? He says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we need to start thinking this through now. For us here at Acacia Ridge this morning, that's what we've been asked to do. And these three things are the things that I think we need to aim for in our life. First of all, we want to imitate his gospel sharing. That's the main game. We have the words of eternal life. We have the good news. So we have to look out for others to seek and save them. I watched I watched part of the movie The Titanic yesterday. That was hard work, let me tell you. I was so glad to have the fast forward button. It's a very long and boring movie. And it's got a lot of Hollywood hype that really is unexcusable. But anyway, I think it's got some redeemable elements. The fact is based on history and reality makes it worth watching. It struck me, though, as I watched this movie, it struck me the amount of parallels that are actually there between the reality of the Titanic and our reality as people in this world. It struck me how many parallels there are, how odd it was as the Titanic has struck the iceberg and its side has been ripped open and there is no hope for the boat. It struck me how the majority of people on the boat were unasleep, unaware of the situation. There's only a small few that were aware initially of the deadly situation that they were in. Many more just simply wouldn't believe there was any issue. They tried to get them onto lifeboats and people just wandered back inside. Just like, oh, this is a lot of kerfuffle, why bother? Tragically, there was no escape. Some weren't even looking for one, but as time went on, people became more and more desperate, looking for escape, and there was none. There was no escape. Lifeboats were gone. And they were on this sinking ship and there was no hope. It was desperate. It made me think at that point, wouldn't it have been amazing if another boat had pulled up at that very moment and lowered down a plank across between the two for people to climb across to safety? It made me think, if that was the case, how quickly everyone who saw this ship, everyone who could see the way to safety, how quickly they would have been yelling out to others, there's a way off this boat. Follow me. There's a way off. It's over here. Climb across. How quickly everyone who saw that would have been shouting out the good news of the way of safety. Jesus is the way of safety. We know this. We know that this is a sinking world that we are on. We know that the gospel is the only hope that people have, and our goal is to get people to see this. Some who are asleep, some who don't believe, some who are so different from us, but our goal is to get them to Jesus, who is the lifesaver. Our goal is to save people. Secondly, we imitate Paul's gospel freedom. In doing this, our service to the Lord is voluntary. We aren't forced to serve. This is the great truth of the gospel. It frees us. For freedom, Christ has set you free. We're free. We're free to serve. But it is our voluntary choice. No one's forcing us to do this. There's no standard that we have to meet to be accepted. There's no written code that we have to measure up to. We are not JWs or Mormons, cult members who trudge the street door-knocking out of duty or guilt or obligation. We are free to seek and save the lost. Our service is of our own free choice. We are to lay down our lives, yes, but we lay down our lives in the same way Jesus did, freely, of our own choice. We lay down our lives for the good of others. It's out of love and gratitude for Jesus that we imitate him. And thirdly, we imitate Paul's method of identifying with those that we aim to win for Jesus. We've got to work at this one, guys, because this is the hardest point of all. We are to use our freedom that Jesus has won for us to love people enough to get to know them, to cross the barriers that exist between man and man, between people group and people group. We are to use the freedom to get across those barriers and be to them understandable people that understand how they think, just as Jesus did. He came from heaven to earth to identify and understand and allow us to understand him. We are to use that same model in getting across the barriers to identify and allow others to understand us. We need to get to know them. Set your sights on loving others and saving others. This is a worthwhile life. Jesus crossed the cosmos to save us. Paul crossed every cultural barrier he came up against to save people. We're to love people. We're to serve people. We're to live to win people to the faith, to the hope, and to the love of the Lord Jesus. That's the challenge. How are you shaping up as a voluntary gospel worker? Because people come in so many different shapes and sizes. The people that you know, the people that you connect with, they all have their own life story, their own situation. We live in a country that has groups and subgroups. There's tribes and clans and networks. There's interest groups. There's connectors all around that are bringing people together. Our task is to use our freedom in Jesus to get into that space, to gain a hearing with those people in those groups or subgroups. Work out the best way for them to understand how the gospel can be taught to them in a way that they can understand. I saw a sticker on a car this week and it really disturbed me. In fact, it annoyed the heck out of me. There's a sticker on a car. Obviously a churchy guy. Back windscreen. Are you saved? On one side of his back windscreen. Driving behind him, he's in front. Good question, are you saved? On the other side was this quote, taken from the old King James Version, archaic Shakespearean translation of the Bible. Believeth thou shalt. And I thought to myself, in today's world, where do we hear Shakespearean jargon like that? What the sticker said to me was that the driver couldn't care less about those he was claiming he was asking the question about salvation for. He couldn't care less, for his translation, quote, was an unintelligible and foreign language to the vast majority of people who would read that sign. Don't put up barriers by weird words or behaviour. Don't be rigid when you should be flexible. Don't be offensive to Christ and to his cause, which is what we are when we nail down dress code and song selection and musical instruments and special buildings as the only way, the only authorised way of honouring God. Such error, it just angers me. And it angers God that we could so hem people out by being rigid where we should be flexible. Such effort to marry Christ to some particular cultural preference is not imitating Christ. It's not imitating Paul. Really love people by aiming to really know them, speak their language, think and act the way they think and act, so you can really bring them the gospel message in the clearest possible way for them to understand. So we can be as flexible as possible, provided we're fixed about where we want to end up. Flexible about how we get to know people, fixed about where we want them to end up. Well, I think you might be thinking at this stage, well, what's in this for me? Why would I bother to do this? What do I get out of all this? Why should I give up my freedom? I've only got a small amount of time, of free time. Why should I use this to get to know my neighbours better? Well, there's a good illustration that Paul uses in verse 24 that may help us a little bit. He uses the athlete illustration. Do you not know that all in the race, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Christianity is all about having this intentional, Christ-centered focus. We are running for this prize. That's the purpose of our life. It's not to be good and happy. Athletes are intentional. They're disciplined. Their eye is on the ball all the time. They abstain in order to train, don't they? They're going for gold. But what I really like about this illustration is this. Athletes go into strict training in order to beat people. They want to win. Their aim is to beat others. Christian focus is so much better. We have the same focus, or should have the same focus, but our aim is to win people. Same driven focus, but we don't want to beat others. We want to win them to Christ. See, so much of this life is treading on others, is beating people to get ahead. Our goal is the reverse. Our focus is out of love for Jesus, who put himself out. We want to put ourselves out in order to win others for Christ. And as we wait for the return of Jesus, we are to be people who don't run aimlessly. As we work in our lives, we don't want to go through life shadow boxing. Our goal is to forsake freely our comfort and our citizenship here on earth in order to reach out to people with the good news of Jesus the Saviour. It's what Jesus did for us. He forsake the citizenship of heaven and the glory of heaven to walk this earth for us. It's what Paul did. He gave up being a Jew, gave up his nationality. He gave up his comfort, crossed the barriers to the Gentiles, to people that needed to be won for Christ. Jesus is our example. Paul is our example. Strive to bring the gospel to bear in the spheres of influence in which you exist. Don't be rigid and inflexible, thinking there's only one proper way of packaging Christianity, and it just happens to be the way that you're comfortable with. Be committed to the Lord Jesus. Intentionally get to know others and to package the gospel in a way that they can understand, using their language, their culture, their mannerisms, the way that they can understand. The only way to do that is to spend time with them, going across the barriers and living with them. As we are committed to working at saving others, we are to freely lay down our life. As we cross the great divide between our likes and aim to identify with the love and love others who are far different from ourselves, as we do this, we become imitators of Christ. You begin to look more and more like him. You begin to grow more and more like him. And in the light of eternity, for the sake of winning more for salvation, what else really matters? May the pattern of Paul and may the pattern of the Lord Jesus be the pattern that we imitate as we live our lives for the short moment we're given on this planet. May we aim to be all things to all men so that by all possible means we may save some. Let me pray. Dear Lord, we are humbled and grateful and thankful for the reminder of the Lord Jesus who crossed the cosmos to save us. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to freely and voluntarily give of our life to see others saved. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give us opportunities to meet people that are not like us and to cross those barriers, to get to know them, to see them saved. Help us, Heavenly Father, to go on through life doing this. And as we look at Easter right on our doorstep now, we pray for many opportunities to invite our friends and neighbours along to hear about Jesus, that they might be saved. So give us a heart for the mission that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give us a heart to be the same, to do the same, to live our life for that end, for your glory and our great good. In Jesus' name, amen.